Hello?
This is a collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
Welcome to Life of a Lifer. This is Cecilia Conley, wife of a lifer, and today I'm going to be doing the interview.
Hello, James. Thanks so much for coming out here to Life of a Lifer. I'm really excited about hearing your story. So can you please introduce yourself?
My name is James Nelson, and most people that know me call me JD, so I go by JD. And I'm currently incarcerated at Ross Correctional Institution in Ohio, and I've been convicted of aggravated murder, and I'm waiting to be sentenced on that charge. Now I took a plea deal for life in prison to avoid a death sentence. So
you have to face that death penalty. Oh my God, I'm sorry for that.
Yeah. Well, I took a plea to avoid that. It was a lot of pressure. Going through them cases is a lot of pressure on you, and our system, it's kind of designed that way to put pressure on you. And it was difficult, but I got through it by God's grace, and I think now the only thing for me to do is try to go through this journey and do the best I can to become a better man and a better person and try to help change others' outlook in their mindset. And that's all I can do is deal with my situation like a man and try to help better others and myself.
I agree. Like, one has to do what I have to do to have a meaningful life. So could you please share with us more about what you're doing?
As of now, well, everything is kind of shut down because of the coronavirus, I think, in all prisons, probably nationwide. But before corona happened, I'm an inmate facilitator in a program block called Going Home for Good program. And it's to help try to reintegrate men, and we got our own inmate facilitated programs that men go through to help them get prepared and get ready for the reintegration back into society. And I facilitate several different programs, psychology of incarceration. One's called TPUKU. It's an acronym for the only person you cheat is you. And I run a spiritual awakening group. I run a conflict resolution program. So basically, I'm just trying to put myself in every situation that I can put myself in to better myself and to help better others. I was a dog handler for mm-hmm. a program called Elite Detection Canine, and we did the basic training for them, and then they go on to become explosive and bomb searchers and search for bombs and guns. So once they leave here, that's what they go on to do. So I stayed busy, but now that this coronavirus has happened, everything has been kind of shut down, and it's terrible right now. Like, just before I called you, there's been, like, my unit has been off the chain because of the drugs, and I think that's a major problem in our facilities across the nation. And right now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because everything has been shut down. Visitation is shut down. There's no, all of our mail is being Xerox copied and given to us Xerox copied. So it baffles me because the drugs are still rampant, and these guys are going crazy over this stuff, and they're having episodes and
the truth is shining right now. They always like to blame the loved ones. It's showing that it's not the loved ones. So it is very impressive that it's happening.
Yeah, and it's probably all over the country. I don't know how it's like in Washington, but right now we got this episode that's going on over here in Ohio. It's called, they're calling it Toon, and I guess it's like some synthetic K2 or fentanyl. It's some chemical sprayed on some paper, and these guys are literally like it makes paranoid, delusion, and they think somebody's out to get them, so they're going crazy. And the cops, the COs are handling the situation with violence. You know, they're coming in immediately, just spraying them with mace, physically restraining them, and so it's ridiculous. And it seems like it's only getting worse. And it's been these last 7, 8, 9 months have been very, very difficult to stay positive and focused because we're not allowed to do nothing. There's no programming. There's no visiting. There's no religious services. There's absolutely nothing going on. And there's no library, nothing. So the rehabilitation that is put in, actually it's put in my state's correctional department name, we're supposed to be Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, but there is no rehabilitation at this time. There is no correction at this time. And I feel terribly sorry for the guys that are coming into prison and they have a year or a 2 year sentence. Well, and they just started their sentence. The rehabilitation process is shot because there's nothing to do. And I wanted to talk about the guys that are in here and they have financial responsibilities, say, such as child support or court costs or anything that can be a bill or a strain that still is piling up while you were incarcerated. And it's not stopping, you know. And so once you come to the end of your sentence, you are now getting put back into a world where however long you've done, say you've done 5 years or 10 years and your child support payments have just collected. So you're going back home to a pile of debt and there's no help for you. And if you can't get a good job, that's like for my situation, and this is exactly what happened to me, and I'm not justifying my crime or anything that I did, but this was my situation. I left prison, and when I left prison my last time, I went home, and my child support has just stacked up so high, and I actually got picked up by the child support agency from prison, and they picked me up on my release date, took me to the county jail. My mother had to come and bond me out of the county jail the next day, and then I went to court and I spoke to the judge and I tried to plead my case and I said, Your Honor, please, I just got released from prison yesterday. If you give me enough time, and he cut me off in mid-sentence. He said, that's not my responsibility to give you time. It was your responsibility. You fathered them kids. These things happen in life. You deal with it. You got 30 days to start making these $550 a month child support payments or we're going to put a warrant out for you. And I had every good intention in the world in my heart leaving prison to do everything I could to try to be a man, a stand-up man in society. And I just felt like everything was just pulled out from underneath me. Well, I went and I got a job, but the job wasn't able to pay me what I needed to make my child support payments. I couldn't get that good of a job coming right out. So I went back to the only thing that I knew I've ever done, and that was selling drugs to try to make that child support payment. I felt like I was put in a desperate situation, and in desperation, you do desperate things. And long story short, a couple weeks ago, I think you had a guy on the podcast, and he was talking about all our stories are the same, or something was kind of something was his web page name. I don't know if it was exactly that phrase, but it's the truth. Like all of our stories are the same, even though we got individual differences, it's the same old song and dance. You know, you put a desperate man in a desperate situation, and hardly nothing good comes out of that, you know? And it's just sad. It saddens me. So I started, and this is how I ended up seeing you guys' podcast. I started a Facebook group called Incarcerated Lives Matter Too. And the whole purpose behind me starting that group was to try to first network with people on the outside and but try to start up something to where inmates can work and make money inside the prison system. That way they can save money for when they leave, so they're not going home to a desperate situation. They can pay their child support while they're incarcerated. They can take care of their family and whatever they need to do financially to be responsible. That's how you're going to change things, because the way the system is operated now, it's never going to work like this. It's never going to work like this. And the sad part is they know it. And I don't think that they're doing very much to fix it, you know? And it saddens me and it angers me. And when you feel helpless and you feel like you can't do anything, I don't know. Yeah, but that's why I started that group. And there's a petition out there for inmates to work, to make money. And that's the only thing that I could think of in my head logically to try to help fix some of our broken system, because it is broken.
I agree with you, James. Thanks so much for sharing this. So I'm going to ask you something. So I know that you love a lot. So right now you don't have access to a lot of different things. So how are you coping with that? So what are you doing with the few resources that you have to still make a difference?
I pray. I pray. And I'm not really a real religious man, but I am spiritual, and I have a faith, and I believe in it wholeheartedly, and I pray. And right now, at this time in our world, not just in the prison system, but in our world, I think prayer is one of the most needed things for all of us, because this is a hectic time in our world. And to be able to stay focused and to stay positive and to try to keep and help. I'm a peacemaker, man. Really, I really am. I want to try to help resolve issues wherever I'm at, because I know that them issues, what they eventually will lead to in the long run. And I hate the fact that anybody would ever have to feel the feelings that I feel waking up, putting my feet on this floor, thinking to myself, I may never get out of prison. You know, so I try to intervene in situations where I know I shouldn't even be doing that. But if it could help steer away some violence with people, I put myself as a martyr on the front line to do it. So that's what I try to do. I just try to be a peacemaker.
So this point of you being a peacemaker, I think it makes a big impact, because you have a different mindset. Like, you just want to break the cycle of just violence and just drama, right? So I think you're doing wonderful in despite your situation. But now I have a question for you. How do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, well, I know for sure I will be at a lower security prison, because I just got my security dropped just this past August. So, and once again, coronavirus has held up my transfer to a lower security prison. So right now I'm in a level 3 prison, and the atmosphere is, it's a dark environment. It's mostly negative. And that's why I kind of, to reiterate a little bit what I said in my bio about being a peacemaker and trying to be positive, and in a place such as this, it puts a target on your back with a lot of guys, because they don't see you. They automatically, their penitentiary mindset and how they think is automatically, oh, he's the police. That's the first thing that a guy that is penitentiary mindset and not program to try to change or fix anything about them, that's the very first thing the average inmate will say about a guy such as me, because I don't move and operate how they move and operate. And I want to be set apart. I don't want to move and operate like that no more. Obviously, I see where it gets you. It gets you a life sentence or, you know, possibly facing the death penalty. And so, but I'm dropped now to a security level 2. And my goal from there is to do the same type of things that I'm doing here with the programs, get into whatever program that I can get into. I really like the inmate facilitated programs, to where I am able to help facilitate different programs and help guys learn and make it easier for them to see through how I lived and to share my story and say that if the change is possible for me, then I know that it is possible for somebody else. And a lot of guys that really are searching for that change, and because there are some, you know, even in this place and in this environment, there are some guys that they seriously want to change. They want to do different. They're just lost individuals. They're stuck in a cycle of addiction. They didn't have good role models or family values. They didn't have no father growing up. They didn't have nobody to show them anything in life that was worth something meaningful, you know? So it's a very difficult situation going through life living with these guys when you can see the hurt. You can see everything that they're dealing with. Even if you don't associate with them, you see it because you was in that position. You felt the same things that they felt. You lived the same way that they lived. And it saddens you, and it hurts your heart even more when you try to reach out to them and they're not receptive. And then you see them leave and they end up coming back with a murder charge, or they leave and they come back and they come back with small time and do little small bits and just do their life in increments, you know, and unfortunately that's just how it goes. But you can't reach them all, but my goal is to try to reach as many as I possibly can, and especially to try to work with some of the younger dudes that are fresh numbers, their first time in prison, and they really don't want to come back and don't want to make this a lifestyle. You know, that's my goal. So once this coronavirus is we get vaccinated or whatever has to happen to get some kind of normalcy back in the world and in the system, I'm ready to get on to my next spot and put in whatever work and effort I got to put in to be a part of whatever program I can be in there. And I know that I love dogs and I love animals. So the place that I'm going to, they have a dog program, and they also have a wildlife program with like lizards and fish and stuff like that. So I want to be a part of that. And hopefully, I see my Facebook group growing and we get as many petition signatures to allow inmates to work in the prison and make a minimum wage, you know, and so they can support their families and take care of their financial responsibilities. Those are some of my, that would be a great 5-year goal, you know, to make a difference. Just want to make a difference.
I actually agree with you. I don't understand why you cannot make the minimum wage. Like, you're still citizens, right? So I think that initiative that you have makes a lot of sense. And hopefully more people that are listening to this, maybe these people can think about it and realize that, after all, you're not asking for anything radical. You're just asking to be treated as a citizen with a right to earn a minimum wage. So
that's it.
Hopefully we can make a change in that. Anyways, I have a final question. So
yes.
You are a lifer. So I want to your point of view. What do you think about life sentences?
I thought about this question, and my answer, it'll never change. I feel each individual case is different, and each individual case should be monitored and looked at different. And whatever happened in each individual case, those circumstances will never, ever change. Nothing can ever change the circumstance. Mm-hmm. But the man himself can change. So because a life was taken, or whatever the situation may be for a person to end up with a life sentence, if that person has displayed rehabilitation, and it's obvious, the record will show it. The staff that works in the prison will see it. The people that man's speech will change. That man's attitude will change. His habits will change. Everything about that man will change when rehabilitation truly sinks in. And I think life sentences are necessary for some people. I think life sentences are, I agree with them, but I believe that, I feel that 20 years, or 20 or 25 years, they should be capped off. And if that man has displayed honest rehabilitation in that 20 or 25 year period to where his record is reflecting that, and the staff and the warden and everybody around him knows that this is not the same person that entered the prison system 20 or 25 years ago, you know, because there's no time limit you can put on a life. So I want to make that clear. I could never do enough years in prison and my victim ever come back to life because of it. There's no time limit that could be put on a person's life. But I feel that people can change, and that person could potentially become an awesome human being, you know? And there's proof of that. I mean, we have living proof and evidence of that. So, yeah, it's a touchy question, and I don't want to upset nobody with my views and how I look at things, mm-hmm. because I try to live and do everything I can with integrity and to be righteous. And I know that taking a person's life, it's not righteous. You know, there's nothing righteous about that. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I agree, but I don't agree with the life sentence. You know what I mean? I feel that a person should be given a chance. And in my faith, and what I read about all through my faith, and I'm a Christian, by the way, the greatest men in that book that I read about, besides Jesus, he was the greatest of all, but almost every other one of them men committed murder, you know, and not to justify or none of that. Well, I guess times was different then or whatever, but they were still great men, and they went on to do great things, and they wasn't defined by that mistake. They wasn't defined by that action as men. You know, they held themselves accountable. They knew what they did. They knew that it was wrong,
mm-hmm.
but they became on to be great in the lives that they helped save in the long run, you know. It's amazing to me. So that's why I know change is possible. And just because something like that happened or a life was taken, it doesn't make that person a monster. It doesn't make that individual inhuman. And it doesn't mean that that person should never, ever be given another chance in society, in our world.
I agree with you. I believe in second chances. And that's why we had the podcast. I really want to thank you so much. I really hope that if you change somebody's mind, just one person after this interview, you have already changed one life. So I really hope that we can reach a lot of people and that they listen and agree with you. And please stay strong, keep making a difference in there. And we're going to get out of this virus. So hopefully soon you have access to those programs again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you guys and all you guys are doing, man. And tell Taylor I said stay up.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.